chapter 14. The Gospel of Mark and chapter 14, and it is page 1017. Mark chapter 14, verse 1. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death, but they said, "Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people." Now we have this morning before us an example of true Christian love. We're continuing in our consideration of the life of the Lord Jesus as recorded by Mark. And as we have just read, the chapter starts with information regarding the terrible attitude of the religious leaders towards Jesus. They thought to take Jesus by stealth and put him to death. They were at this time a leadership that lacked credibility, that lacked real courage, and really were not those that were immersed in the real truth of the Word of God. And they had a little or no understanding of prophecy and the fulfillment of it in the very person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they think to take Jesus by stealth. They were so jealous of the Lord Jesus, and they want to put him to death. And they thought that they were setting the agenda. They thought that they themselves were setting the agenda of the events, but actually all was being overruled according to God's sovereignty. Now, when we talk about God's sovereignty, we're talking about the ability of God in his infinite power to overrule all events, to ensure that all things work out according to his preordained will. And the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross is actually the greatest example of the overruling sovereignty of God in this world. The Apostle Peter tells us in Acts chapter 2, and he's preaching at the day of Pentecost, that Jesus, being delivered by the determined purpose and knowledge of God. So Calvary was the predetermined knowledge and foreknowledge of God. And yet, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put him to death. There was man's responsibility and God's sovereignty working together. And as these events build up before Calvary, we see the incredible way in which God is overruling and in control. None of the religious leaders, for example, were expecting Jesus to be betrayed by one of his closest disciples. The manner of their taking Jesus through Judas was not expected by the religious leaders. They were hardened to prophecy. They didn't link the two at the time in which Judas came to them. They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and eventually Judas, we know, committed suicide, as prophesied in Scripture, because of his betrayal of the Lord Jesus. Well, the death of the Lord Jesus took place at the time of maximum publicity also. They thought to take Jesus by stealth and put him to death. They might take him by craft and put him to death. But actually, the death of the Lord Jesus took place at the time of maximum publicity. People from all over the known world at that time had gathered in Jerusalem for the feast. And Jesus said earlier on in his ministry that if I am lifted up from the earth, speaking of Calvary, I will draw all peoples to myself. And so his death was overruled by God as a statement of his love to the whole world, and also as an awesome symbol and reality of the judgment of God because of sin. And so this morning we come to consider an event just prior to the death of Jesus. This event demonstrates the beauty of true Christian love for Jesus. He describes how this love was expressed. It describes also the contrast in effect that this action had. How in the purpose of Mary in showing her love to the Lord Jesus, and also the contrast in effect with Judas. Now, as we consider the same event recorded by Matthew, Mark and John, we know that Jesus was taking supper at the home of Simon the leper at a place called Bethany. Now, Simon was called the leper here because he was had been previously healed of his leprosy. And this event took place at Bethany, a place where the Lord knew that he would receive a very warm welcome. He loved to go to Bethany. He felt at home there. He had friends there. And Jesus was there together with his disciples and his friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And Mary was known for her spiritual devotion to the Lord. And she was known for her willingness to sit at Jesus' feet and learn of him. Martha, she was known for her God-given gift of hospitality. And Lazarus was undoubtedly the special friend of Jesus, because we know that Jesus wept at his death before he raised them again from the death. So it was at this supper that held in Bethany that Martha leads in the hospitality. She's serving, and Lazarus is seated at the table with Jesus, and Mary, motivated by her deep love and appreciation for Jesus, anoints Jesus with very expensive perfume oil. And we can look at this this portion of scripture and combine the other accounts of the events together, and we can come to see some very precious, I believe, truths, and some very precious teaching about what characterizes true Christian love to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first thing I would bring to your attention as regards Mary's action is that it was truly Christ-centered. So verse 3, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. Now, the most important person in the room for Mary was the Lord Jesus Christ. The most important person in the room for Mary was the Lord Jesus Christ. And the most important person in her life was the Lord Jesus Christ. And her love was focused upon him. Her love was focused upon the sacrifice that he was shortly to make. And so here was an opportunity to show all those that were present in the house that Christ meant everything to her. And she was a very courageous woman. She came and she showed in front of those men that were surrounding Lord Jesus that Christ meant everything to her. He was her only hope for salvation. He was her only hope of eternal life in glory in the hereafter in eternity. So here we can see the true epicenter of Christian faith. The true epicenter of Christian faith is when Christ is all in all to us. When we can say, as we have sung, I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. That is true faith. And this is what Mary was showing. It didn't matter who else was in the room. Jesus was there. And she wanted to show her love for Jesus. But secondly, I want us to notice that her love was a sacrificial love. Her gift was very costly. It represented the family investment laid up for the future. Elsewhere, the spikenard ointment described in Matthew as gospel, is described as being also very precious. And here in Mark, it's described as being very precious. Now, why was it so precious? Well, this ointment that was of spikenard, very precious, had been transported to the land of Judah all the way from the Himalayas. And this was an extensive journey, over 2,000 miles by camel. And the journey obviously added to the cost. It was very precious. It had come a long way. It must be very beautiful and something very precious to be worthy of such an extensive journey by camel. And the ointment's value of 300 pence, in the original term denarii, was equivalent to nearly a year's salary. A year's salary for an unskilled employee at the time. They were paid a denarii a day. That was a normal payment at that time. So if you've got 300 pence or denarii here, and you know they didn't work on the Sabbath day, so that left around about 300 days left, just over, you can work out that what this ointment was worth in today's money. It was worth about £15,000. £15,000. And the point being that Mary sacrificially used the best for the Lord. And it may well have been a family investment. It may have been their pension. It may have been something laid up for when they were a bit older. But she came and she gave something of value, something precious for the Lord. It was an extravagant act in a positive sense. It was motivated by love on this special occasion. She was given a special opportunity to do the best for the Lord. And there are times in our life when God gives us these special opportunities. Of course, there are times and we constantly are giving to the Lord as we see a commitment to the Lord sacrificially month by month or week by week. That is good. But there are other times when the Lord brings a need into our life, a situation into our life, which is a special opportunity, if you like, to do the best for the Lord. And we need wisdom and how to respond to the drawing and the leading of the Spirit of God in such matters. Well, one thing we learn then, that Christian love is not only Christ-centered, but Christian love is always sacrificial. There will always be a sacrificial element to Christian love. And then thirdly, I want us to notice it was a love without reservation. It was a love without strings attached, if you like. The weight of the ointment being a pound is described here to show the extent of her devotion and generosity. Mark describes here our alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. She broke the box and poured it on his head. It was poured out liberally and fully. Now, you know how carefully a lady will open some valuable perfume. We see this sometimes at Christmas when children might have this perfume and they have a little bit of press on the thing to see what it's like, and they know it's valuable perhaps. Well, what would we say if someone just opened the bottle and just poured it all over their head and or someone else's head and say, we would be a bit shocked, wouldn't we? But you see, this broken alabaster box of ointment symbolized the woman's total commitment to the Lord Jesus. Nothing held back. Everything for Jesus. Now, normally, the bottle would have been carefully unsealed at its neck. The ointment would have been dribbled out very sparingly. That's what they did at that time. But in Mark's account, Mary just broke the bottle in such a manner that the ointment gushed over the Lord Jesus. And by breaking the bottle like she did, it meant that everything must be given out. There was no way of sealing the bottle again. Everything must be given to Jesus. And that is a picture of what it means to follow the Lord Jesus. We don't just seal the bottle of our life and say, well, we'll just take a little bit of a dribble out every week on a Sunday, and that's our time for Jesus, and then we seal the bottle back, and we carry on with life. No, it's Christian love is a love without reservation. All that I have, all that I am, we follow the Lord Jesus, and he will help us to do so. There will be such a joy in following Jesus like this. The problem is when we don't follow Jesus like this and we have that sealed bottle, as it were, we only have a little dribble here and there, we don't have fulfillment in following Jesus. And if our religion is just a Sunday religion, and the rest of the week there's no time for Jesus and no thoughts for Jesus, we will never get fulfillment. But when we see, actually, 24/7, I'm the Lord's, I'm following the Lord, and whatever the Lord is calling me to do in my life, I'm going to do it as unto the Lord and for his glory and with his help. And so this speaks of a wholehearted devotion to the Lord without reservation. Well, she was pouring out her heart in reverent love and adoration without reservation. And Mary pours out everything for her Lord. She kneels at his feet in total submission and adoration. And this again is a symbol of faith. That's what faith is. It's saying not only that Jesus is my Savior who's going to forgive my sins, but Jesus is my Lord, and I bow down at his feet and I say, Lord, lead my life. Lord, guide me and teach me. And Lord, you are my Savior. I trust you completely for forgiveness. And so it was a love that was accompanied with humility. It was a love that was sacrificial. It was without reservation. It was Christ-centered. And it was a love accompanied with humility. So we read it in John's account. Mary is shown, shows her total commitment to the Lord by anointing his feet. Imagine that. She didn't anoint his feet with a towel, but with the hairs of her own head. Such was her respect and admiration and appreciation and love for him. And this was her way of showing she had submitted to the lordship of Christ in her life. And he was her all and in all. It showed her love was with humility. She was willing to go down on her knees. Mary realized the amazing grace of Jesus Christ toward her as Savior and Lord. And her love was a humble love. It was a grateful love. And it motivated her to go down on her knees before the Lord. And physically, we may not be able to go down on our knees as we get older. But what it means is we are here spiritually, is we go down on our knees in our heart before the Lord. We humble ourselves before the Lord in our heart before the Lord. So, a Christ-centered Christian love, motivated by our gratitude toward him as saved sinners, always leads in the way of humility. It never puffs us up. True Christian love is always a humble love. But then, it was a love that was not hidden. It was a love that was not hidden. Her demonstration of love was very public. It was there was an identification with the Lord Jesus, with all the guests present. The action was a purposeful and public demonstration of our love to Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. Now, in a way, baptism is like this. We show publicly and we state publicly that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We're telling the congregation that we are identifying ourselves by faith and publicly that Jesus is our Savior and Jesus is our Lord. We love him and we desire to follow him with God's help for the rest of our lives. We identify with Christ. We identify with his death. His death on the cross at Calvary, which has washed away our sins, and as we are lifted up again out of the pool of the baptism pool, we are identified with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection. and we are desiring to follow him and to obey him. A love that was not hidden. I think I mentioned this some while ago, but I remember some years ago going with my father to a garage to purchase a car with him, and the sales manager asked my father, "What sort of specification are you looking for?" And I'm sure the answer my dad gave, the sales manager had never had in his life. But my father looked him straight in the eye and he said, "I need a car with a parcel shelf big enough to put my Bible on." And he bought his Bible. And he wanted to have a car, so he was going around the showroom, really, finding a parcel shelf big enough to put his Bible on. You might think that's a bit naive, but it meant a lot to him. He was driving a lot about the country preaching, and it was very important to him to have things that were, he knew where he could put things, and his Bible was very special to him. And that was his testimony at that time. That was his witness. It was a love that was not hidden. I'm a preacher of the gospel. I preach from the word of God, the Bible. It was a love that was not hidden. But then it was a love that was with knowledge. And so true Christian love is not a hidden love. It will manifest itself to others, and particularly in our love to the Lord Jesus. But it is also a love that is with knowledge. It's not just an emotional love, a feel-good factor. It's a love with knowledge. Christian love is not just an emotional feeling. It's not just saying to yourself, "I love Jesus," relying on what you are feeling. Feelings come into it, but that is not what true Christian love constitutes in its entirety. Actually, Christian love primarily is a sincere love with knowledge. It's the knowledge, it's the truth, which brings the emotion, not the other way around. When we understand with our mind the wonders of what Jesus Christ has done for us upon Calvary's cross as needy sinners, that truth, that love, that amazing fact that the Son of God has come from heaven above to this world and given his life on the cross for me, that truth moves us. So it is a truth which moves our emotions. And like it was on the road to Emmaus, did not our heart burn within us as he talked with us in the way, as he revealed and opened up the scriptures to us? So it was truth that moves the heart emotionally. And so here we see this with Mary, because her love, her emotion and her whole being was in this love, but it was a love with knowledge. She knew that she was anointing Jesus for his burial. She had Calvary in mind. It's a love which was based upon facts about the person and the work of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the more we know about Christ, the more we love Christ. And this is why it's so important that we learn more and more about Jesus. The benefit of learning more and more about Jesus is a growing love for Jesus. If we're content with our knowledge of Jesus as it is now, what will happen is our love will stagnate and it will get colder and colder. But if we come to the Word of God and we say, "Oh, show me more about Jesus," our love will grow warmer and grow. So the Apostle Paul, that great theologian, that great preacher, that great apostle under God, when he was shortly before he died, writing to the church at Philippi, facing death, what does he say? He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, that I might be made conformable unto his death. And this dear man of God, who was probably the most mature preacher, the most maturely taught theologian of the day, knew he was coming to the end of his life, and he still wanted to know more about Jesus. His desire was that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, that I might know him spiritually and with truth and in reality. And so Mary is at the feet of Jesus, pouring out her affection to him. But this action of affection is based on her knowledge of him and his work. How can we be so sure that Mary's love was with knowledge? Well, she knew in her mind that Jesus was soon to suffer, and she was preparing his body for this. Her knowledge had fruit. Her action was motivated by a love with knowledge. She was making a public profession of faith in a statement about his impending death at Calvary. Her love was not superficial. It was not just emotion, but it was sacrificial with knowledge and understanding. The Lord Jesus tells us she hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body for burying. Jesus knew that she knew. So it was a love that was with knowledge. And God doesn't call us to love him just in our feelings without any knowledge. He's calling us to love him with knowledge, to come to his word and to ask him to reveal Christ to us in the scriptures. And as that revelation comes to us, that our love for him might be kindled, our admiration for him might be kindled, our adoration of him might be kindled as we concentrate and focus by faith on the wonderful truths of the Lord Jesus Christ. A love with knowledge. But then we notice that this love had an effect upon everybody present. Verse 4. There were some that had indignation within themselves, and they said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Now the fragrance of the oil were descended upon all those present in that room. But the effect of this action and the effect of this fragrance brought forth two differing responses. See, sacrificial love for Christ is like a searchlight. It lights up a person's true state of mind. Now, this action was too much for jealous Judas. For Judas, this was not an act of worship. This was simply a waste of money. And he made his feelings known. Judas, in an unspiritual state, could not discern here between worship and waste, between grace and waste, between love and waste. And so he was quick to criticize, and he just thought it was a waste. Oh, he said, I could have... Well, of course, he wanted the money for himself, but he could see what incredible value this ointment had. If they'd gone to the marketplace and sold it, he could have filled his purse up. He could have made a lot more money in his purse. And he was so unspiritual, it rises up within him. But what was it that made Judas so angry? It was love. It was sacrificial love. And because of the hardness of his heart, he was unable to discern the true nature of the meaning of Mary's love. For him, it was just a waste. To him, it was just totally over the top. But it showed his spiritual state. It said much more about Judas than it did actually about Mary at the time. It revealed the hardness of Judas's heart, because here was the creator of the universe, who had left his glory in heaven to live in poverty, and he was lived the perfect life, and now as the Savior of the world was going to Calvary's cross and to give his life and to suffer the eternal punishment due for the sins of all those that put their trust in him. Now when you put it in that context, in a love with knowledge, it wasn't over the top at all. It was a preparation for the Lord Jesus. But it was this action of extravagant love to Jesus that triggered this incredible outpouring of jealousy and hatred in the mind of Jesus. His outburst, seemingly on behalf of the poor, demonstrated what was on the inside of his wicked heart. Jesus was a master at covering up his true identity. Jesus was really upset because of the loss of the revenue to his own pocket as the treasurer for his disciples. There was a hidden hypocrisy in Judas, but it came out in the end. It couldn't be held in any longer. This act of love ultimately triggered something in Judas's heart, and it outpoured all this horrible vent of hypocrisy and anger. But sadly, Judas was not alone in his criticism. Even the other disciples and the guests join in with him in their misunderstanding of Mary's action at the time. Now, the action of other disciples, as we look at the three accounts, is a warning to us of the danger of whose counsel we listen to. Who are we listening to? Whose counsel are we taking? We should always take care not to follow the lead of a person who, despite the outward veneer, might be bitter and deceitful in spirit. We should follow the word of God. We should take our counsel from the word of God. We should look beyond man to the word of God. And and that's what should actually govern our interpretation, our assessment of a situation. And this criticism of Mary also shows us that when we go the extra mile in showing our loyalty and love for the Lord, we can be accused sometimes of going over the top. Sometimes we find this at work. People might say, well, what have you been doing this weekend? Well, I went to, we had a day with the family on Saturday, but on Sunday we went to church in the morning and the evening. Well, that's a bit over the top, isn't it? It was a lovely sunny day today. Why didn't you take your children off somewhere else and you could have had the rest of the day? And you say, well, no, we want to worship the Lord on the Lord's Day. And people might say, well, that's a bit over the top, is it not? No, we can't do enough to show our love for the Lord. We can't do enough to show how much we love the Lord. The important issue here is not what man thought about the action of Mary, but what did God think? And Jesus was very clear here about what he thought. It was a love that was approved by Jesus. He said, "Let her alone. Why trouble you her? She hath wrought a good work on me, for you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will may do them good, but me you have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." I want us to notice here, as we come to conclusion, the vulnerability of Christian love. Jesus is always alongside those who follow him. Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble you her?" Jesus springs to the defense of Mary. Jesus is always on the side of those who show Christian love, whatever anyone else may say. And Mark records that the Lord Jesus said, "It was a good work on me." Here was a woman walking closely with the Lord, and the effect was a good work. When Jesus said that she had done a good work, he means something lovely, something beautiful actually. It's good in its meaning. It's good in its thoughtfulness. It's good in its generosity. She did what she could. This is a beautiful testimony. She did what she could to show her love and loyalty. Well, Jesus springs to the defense of Mary. Jesus is always on the side of those who show Christian love, whatever anyone else may say. We saw last week how the Lord Jesus looks upon the heart, and the woman that put that two mites in the collection box, and you couldn't even hear those two mites were like two feathers dropping in the box. It didn't make any significance on the people around about. They couldn't hear. And it seemed so insignificant. But Jesus said she's given all that she had. All that she had. And isn't it wonderful that here are two examples of giving all that we have to the Lord Jesus. And the woman gave two mites, commended by the Lord Jesus. It was hardly anything at all. And yet it was so meaningful to the Lord Jesus. And here's a woman that gives a year's wages in one go. A very wealthy woman. And she gives all that she had in that action. And that was also commended. So it's not the quantity. It's the attitude. It's, are we given wholeheartedly? Are we given all that we have to the Lord in our whole being, in our whole life? But then, it was a love that was timely. For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. But you do not have me always. We know that Jesus was the perfect example of supporting the poor. And he reminds us that it is our constant duty, for as long as the world exists, to help the poor. That is our solemn duty before the Lord. But we have those special occasions which require urgent and definite action. Jesus was shortly to give his life, and Mary realized this, and she showed a definite devotion to him. And from this event we learn that there is an ongoing requirement to give to the poor, but there's times when the Holy Spirit prompts us through the Word of God to show our love to the Lord in a special manner. Those special occasions when our love for Christ shines through our actions. And those special opportunities given to us by God show the depth of our love to him. We need to listen to what God is speaking to us, the promptings of this Holy Spirit. We need to be aware, and it may be that we are being called to show our love to God by helping somebody else in the way. And it might be a special action that's required of us. It's not the general run of the giving, but there's a special call, and the Lord is calling us, and we show our devotion to the Lord as we are led by his word and by the Spirit. But that's something very personal. It's something very private to you, and it's between you and the Lord. But finally, it was a love that was motivated again by the gospel. And I just remind you of that again. Wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Here we are, nearly 2,000 years later, and we're reminded of this wonderful action of love as we seek to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mary understood the significance of his death as his sacrifice on behalf of sinners. And she understood that her Savior was willingly going to give his life, going to the cross, motivated by his love. And she no doubt learned this gospel at the feet of Jesus. And in response to the gospel of Jesus Christ, she responds in this action of devoted love and gratitude. Well, the heart of the gospel is love. God shows his love to sinners in Christ Jesus, and sinners in return, saved by grace, respond in love. So God is love, and God showed his love by sending his only beloved Son to this world, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we respond in love because God first loved us, and we respond in a love which is sacrificial, Christ-centered, without reservation, with humility, openly, with knowledge, and knowing that that love, while it might have a negative effect on some people, it's approved by the Lord Jesus, and it's motivated by the precious gospel of Jesus Christ and him crucified. May God help us to show this love in our life. And may God help us to learn from the example of Mary, her love to the Lord Jesus Christ. May we seek to follow her example and bow at the feet of the Lord Jesus and give him